Last week we had conversation about a chain, the weak link in your chain. Healing and strength happen when we acknowledge our need. I think we know that that's true in life. Feeling well, you're sick. When you acknowledge that sickness and you go see a doctor, there's the beginning of the healing of the process. It's true in our spiritual lives as well that we need to acknowledge a weakness that the Holy Spirit would show to us. And then we can begin that process of healing, of restoring, of strengthening our spiritual walk. We must acknowledge, we must accept the truth, and this is truth, that we need God's help. I must have God's help, or it won't be done. It can't be done without God's help. And in helping us, God gives us homework to do. Homework. Isn't it nice not to be in school so you don't have homework to do? And those of you that are in school, you're shaking your head. No. But it is great. I remember graduation day walking up, well, out from school or even after college going, no more homework. It was just like a big burden, just like, oh, thank you. But yet did I realize that homework, God's homework is forever. God's homework is forever. Don't ever, ever walk away from His homework. He gives us homework to do each and every day, every moment of your life. God, your invitation to Him to come into your heart, be a part of your life, He will give you something to work on. Because His word is true when it says that He wants you to be more like His Son, Jesus Christ. So that is where we're going to begin today about this area of devotion or devotions that we use as God's homework, a piece of God's homework for us. It's a spiritual journey that we're on, that you're on. And we certainly need to seek God's help in growing stronger. So this morning is just a building block. It's a building block on the way to spiritual strength or spiritual health. And it is an ongoing event that we will be discussing, talking about today and next week and maybe the week after that. But it's in the realm of your devotional life. I trust and I pray that you do have a devotional life. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, one of the important, very important books of the Old Testament, as all Scripture is important, but this passage, Moses is speaking to the children of Israel, and I'm just going to give you an overview of the first 11 verses. But Moses is speaking to the children of Israel, and he's really wanting to emphasize with them that they are to not forget the Lord. They did, and they often did throughout the history of as you read through the Old Testament. But here we have Moses, again, pleading with them, reminding them of God's faithfulness, God's grace to them, God's mercy to them, God's guidance to them. And he's saying, come on, people. Come on, don't forget the Lord. Verse 3, He humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Oh, somebody else says that in the New Testament, don't they? Jesus says those very words to us in the New Testament. It is God Himself who humbled them, causing them to be hungry, and then feeding them with manna. which they had never known before. But God is teaching them a lesson. Verse 5. Know then in your heart that as man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. You experience God's discipline in your life? I hope that you do. I hope you do. I hope that your conversations with Him are such that you invite Him into your realm, and you invite Him to discipline you, to shape you, to mold you, as that song spoke of that we sang. Well, you can't have a godly devotional life if you are devoted to something other than God. The word devoted means that that's your focal point. That's the thing that consumes you. That's the peak of your day. That's the peak of who you are. That's the essence of who you are. To be devoted to God means that He is in control. He is your Lord. He's your King. Well, today I will say that many people are devoted to the Vikings. Their evidence, their devotion is evidenced, again, by what they're wearing. I decided not to wear my Viking jersey that I have that's hanging in the closet. Because although I do pay attention to the Vikings, I'm not devoted to the Vikings. And I don't want to give you that impression on a Sunday morning. Okay? But you know people that are devout, they're devoted to a team. That is evident in what they're wearing, what they're saying, and by the time they will commit to the watching of the game today. Devotion to a team. Many of you either are or have been devoted to a job. It consumes you. It takes your attention. It takes your energy. It takes your time. A person is seen by our words and actions. What you think of somebody, your encounter with somebody, what you come away with after that encounter, you take through the words that they speak to you, maybe the words they don't speak to you, and their actions. Devotion. So how is your devotion to God? I ask you a personal question. How is your devotion to God? What are the evidences that you are devoted to God? Maybe this is a weak link that was revealed to you last Sunday. Maybe it's been revealed to you this week. What are the evidences that you are devoted to God? Well, it would come out in your conversation with people. Yesterday, I had a conversation, an extended conversation after our coffee time at McDonald's with two friends that were there. And they were very appreciative of the conversations that we have following our prayer time. And they said to me, they said, you know, that sitting with, I'm not going to say all that I should. Anyway, I'm going to cut it short. They said that they appreciated the conversations that we have because they're God-centered. Oh yeah, from time to time we drift off and talk about the political realm or whatever. But they said to me, it's very rare that we have this kind of conversation with our other Christian friends. Wow. So thank you to those of you that participate in that Saturday prayer time and coffee time and conversation. It is evident that our devotion to God by the words we speak and our actions. So how is your devotion to God? What are the evidences that you are devoted to God? And I just picked on one there. But there are many, 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 because we are all unique and different. But a life of devotion to God will be evidences, I would say, with a time of devotion. A time of devotion. A daily devotional time. Now, I would say to you that it is more than just the beginning of a day. Your devotional time. Your devotional time with God in the morning that you have must bleed throughout your day. It must feed you spiritually during the day. It's not I've got 10 minutes and then you get up and you go. Your devotional time is, your daily devotional time is more than just a beginning to your day. That devotion in the morning should speak to you at noon. It should speak to you at supper. It should speak to you again before you go to bed at night. A daily devotional time is more than just 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, whatever. So we ask, so you ask, why? Why do I need a devotional time with God? That's a good question. That's a good question. Why? Why? Why in many realms, why is the big unanswerable question? We don't know some of the answers to why. But yet I believe, and I will read, and I hope by the end of the message today that you are convinced that Scripture gives us the answer to the why. And so we're going to look to God's Word. The answers come to us from God Himself, from Scripture, His message to us. And the answers to the question of why have a devotional time, why be devoted to God? It's too important question to just, what's your thought? What's your opinion? This needs to be founded, the answer needs to be founded in Scripture. Because God wants it, God demands it from us, and we should then go to His Word to find the answer. So we're going to do that, and some of you are going to stand and read Scripture for us this morning. And the first passage of Scripture is Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. All right, that comes from Matthew 4:4. That's Jesus being tempted by Satan, by the devil. And we do believe in God. We do believe in Satan as well. And so Satan is tempting Jesus Christ, God's Son, in the garden, or not in the garden, but in the desert, in the wilderness. And Jesus says those words to Satan. Man, you and me, but all of us, we don't live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. So your spiritual life's bread must come from Scripture. What feeds your spirit? What feeds you spiritually? God's Word. Jesus Christ said it. We don't live on bread. Some of you had some good bread this morning. But Jesus is telling us that His bread feeds our spirits. Your spiritual bread comes from Scripture and nowhere else. Going back to Deuteronomy chapter 8, the second verse there, Moses urges the children of Israel to never forget their dependence upon God. Never forget. We serve communion here. What is communion about? It's remembering Jesus. Remembering Jesus. Moses, way back, 1,000 years or more before Jesus and communion, he's telling the children of Israel, the Israelites, hey, come on, people, don't forget God. Don't forget your dependence upon God. And he goes on to say that God desires that from you. He desires to hear from us. Prayer, meditation, God's Word speaking to us and soaking into us. And doing so, again, go back to that chain. It helps strengthen that weak link of faith or devotion to God. That weak link will become stronger. Your faith will grow stronger. Moses also reminds the children of Israel and reminds us that life isn't easy. Life isn't easy. I would say that we've probably all experienced some level of that, some more than others. It's tough at times, but God is faithful. Moses reminds the children of Israel. The prophets remind them of stepping it through the Old Testament. Jesus continues teaching that to His disciples. God is faithful. And God wants us to show our faithfulness to Him. Well, how can I do that? Part of that evidence would be spending time in His Word. Devotional readings, devotions, opening up your Scripture and letting it speak to you. Daily devotions give us time to remember God. When I sit down and I read Scripture and I read some devotional readings in the morning, that's time I've set aside to hear from God. I remember God in that. I can remember Him. I can remember yesterday, an event of yesterday, or an event Thursday night, or Wednesday night Bible study. Something's going to come to my mind. I can remember God's faithfulness to me. And that's what we are to do in our time of devotion. Giving devotions is remembering God. And remembering that I am dependent upon Him. Because He's going to give me a challenge in the day. He's going to ask me to do something that pushes me. And I'm going to say, okay, God, only with Your help. And there we go. So a devotional time for me is I can remember God. I can remember His faithfulness, His love and His care, His blessings. But also reminds me that I need Him. It's an ever-present thought in my mind that I need Him. In life, we often ask the question, what will I get out of it? That's another good question. Kids in school ask, why do I need to take this subject? Trigonometry, I'm never going to use trig in life. How many of you here took trigonometry in school? Either high school or college? Okay, some. How many of you use it in life? All right. But that's a good question. What will I get out of this? What will I get out of it? So if I'm going to do devotions, if I'm going to give time away, what am I going to get back? I've done pre-marriage counseling and couples. I don't know if I've had anybody actually speak it, but you know that it's there. What am I going to get out of this relationship? Okay, that's a good question. You know, what are you bringing to the party? What am I going to get out of it? You ask that question before you accept a job offer. You want to know what the benefit package is. You want to know what the wages are. What can I get out of it? What does it mean to me? If I do X, Y, or Z, then how will it benefit me? Well, again, that's another good question. Daily time with God what will it give me, other than a time to remember Him and a time to remember that I need Him? Well, we're going to look at Scripture again, because that's where we're going to get the answers. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. Who has that passage? Edna. All right. Peter is telling the church, he's telling us today, stick to the Word, study the Word, study the Word, and it's spiritual growth, a character will come true. Let me read that for you again, 2:2. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk. I should crave it. Peter is saying, do you crave time with God? Do you crave to get into His Word? Do you just desire it like newborn babies? Yeah, there's nothing as helpless as a baby. Are we that way as Christians, followers of Christ, His ambassadors? Crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in salvation. It's a process. We're going to grow up. I need to crave this Word. I need to desire it. Let it soak into me. Let it speak to me. As a baby craves pure milk from its mother or from a bottle, whatever, this is my spiritual food. Do I desire it or is it optional? Whatever. If I get to it, I get to it. No, I'm consumed by it. I get spiritually angry if I don't get fed. Oh, I need it. I desire it. John 15:3. Who has John 15:3? Linda. All right, thank you. Peter tells us that it's milk. We need to crave it because we're going to grow stronger. We're going to become toddlers. We're going to become teenagers. We're going to become spiritual adults if we keep craving after the Word. In John's Gospel, 15th chapter, the third verse, there is spiritual correction in studying the Word. We talked about strengthening the weak links in the chain. How are you going to find out what's weak? You listen to the Holy Spirit. He asks you to do something and you push back. Oh, that might be a spiritual weakness. You better pray about that. Listen to His Word. Spiritual correction will come to us as we look at God's Word, as we read God's Word. Let it speak to you. You are already clean because of the Word I have spoken to you. The disciples were being obedient to the teachings that Jesus were giving to them, and they were spiritually correct. They were experiencing spiritual correctness. They were clean. God's Word, God's Holy Spirit disciplines us. We read that earlier. I don't know if any of us that desires discipline in the human realm. I can remember as a kid growing up, just waiting for the day that I was too big to get a spanking. Discipline. In spiritual discipline, I must never grow up to the point where I am too big to get God's spiritual discipline in my life. I should desire that. If I desire to be more like Christ, and I know that that's not innate in my sinful nature, I must constantly always be inviting Him to find that area in my life and correct it, clean it. Sanctification, clean me, O God. Clean my heart. Psalm 119, 169. Who has that? All right, Maria. All right. How often in life do we go to somebody, a friend, a family member, somebody for advice before we go to Scripture? Probably happens on a regular basis, right? Now, if you're asking, you know, where do you want to go for supper? Do you want to go to McMillan's or stay home? I don't know. That's one thing. But when it comes to spiritual counsel, there is nobody, there is nothing like God's Word, there is nothing like God speaking to you. Time with God is the best counselor that money can't buy. Because you can't buy it. It's free, it's there, it's God's Word. In the realm of spiritual questions in your life, consult Scripture first. And the psalmist reminds us of that, tells us of that in Psalm 119. Who has John 4:23? All right, thank you. Jesus speaking to the Samaritan woman. Speaking of spiritual communion, more than the elements of bread and wine, bread and juice, it's remembering a spiritual feast with God. Do you ever think about your devotional time as that feast with God? Being spiritually fed, being spiritually satisfied in your devotions, or is it just routine? Has it become a routine? I brush my teeth in the morning. Oh, I have devotions as well. Change your mindset. See, your devotional time with God in the morning or in the afternoon or the evening, whenever you have your time with God during the day, it can be all day too, see it as that spiritual communion that you have with God. It's a spiritual feast with God. He's speaking to you. He's feeding you bread. He's feeding you. He's giving you that water to drink, which will quench your spiritual thirst. It's there for you. Is your devotional time that intense or exciting for you? And yeah, maybe there's going to be a good day and a normal day, but whatever. But anticipation of having a spiritual communion with God. All of these things are good, but some some will ask, yeah, but what's it going to cost me? What's it going to cost me? And they're not talking about dollars and cents. While we believe God's love is free, His forgiveness is freely given, only when we confess our sins to Him. In the human realm, there is a cost of being devoted to God. There is a cost of being devoted to God in the human realm. Jesus taught His disciples, He teaches us, that being a disciple and ambassador of His, one thing having devotion with Him, being devoted to Him, will cost you something. He said it very plainly, pick up your cross and follow me. Leave the challenges of life behind. Cast your cares upon Him. Oh, that means I'm going to have cares. Something's going to happen. Yeah, you are. But Jesus is going to be there for us to cast our cares upon. It certainly will cost you time. Mark chapter 1, verse 35. Who has that passage? Richard. All right. That's an example. That's Jesus. He gets up early in the morning and He goes out to a solitary spot where He can be alone and He communes with God, His Heavenly Father. Time. Having devotions in the morning. Again, whenever you have devotion, your devotion time, it's going to cost you some time. You're going to have to set aside time. I would also in that realm encourage you not to have an end time. Get up early. If you do it in the morning, get up early enough so that if God speaks to you, you don't have to say to Him, oh, by the way, I got to be somewhere. Maybe that's going to happen and you carry the conversation with you. But being a disciple of Christ, being an ambassador, having devotions with Him means you give that time to Him and you let Him occupy that time and space. A disciple will not see time spent with God as costing them time. It will be time freely given. Our devotional time requires a good Bible. Grab a good study Bible. Go see Roger. He'll get you a good study Bible. Something maybe with some notes, commentary notes, insights in Scripture. But have a good Bible. Second Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, one of those 3:16 of the Bible. We read it, we've spoken it. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness. God's Word, when you read that, let it speak to you. It's speaking to you. So often I know I'm throwing all of us under the bus with this comment, but accept it and then forgive me later. But when we read a passage of Scripture and we go, oh man, that's George. Oh, that's somebody else. No, forget that. When you have your devotional time and you're reading Scripture, let it speak to you. Now, the Holy Spirit may say you need to pray for George, then pray for George. But Don't point fingers at George. You might have that 2x4 sticking out of your spiritual eye that Jesus says, take care of that first. But let Scripture speak to you. You are the one sitting there reading the Bible. You are the one there praying, meditating, talking to God. Listen to Him. God's Word is useful in teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Some people will criticize Scripture because it's not historically correct. They'll find a little fault or, you know, whatever. No, that's not. God didn't give us the Bible as a. Don't use a history as a measuring stick or other criteria. Scripture is given to us for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, following God. That's the purpose of the book. Don't use it for something else. It is given as Paul gave to his friend Timothy, for training in righteousness. And so we must take that passage and make it, let it speak to us in the first person. Again, it's you. It's you. Why have devotional time, you ask? Why have it? Well, if you are God's ambassador, wouldn't you want to communicate with your boss? Wouldn't you want to communicate? You are the ambassador. We spoke of that a couple Sundays ago. You are God's ambassador. So wouldn't you want to communicate to headquarters? You'd want to talk to the president, the king, the one that has sent you to be an ambassador? That's devotional time. That's your devotional time. I need direction from Him. And I will get it from His Word and His Holy Spirit. Those are the resources that I must focus on. Let me just conclude with this thought, that the final requirement for our daily devotional time with God is a spirit of expectation. A spirit of expectation. John chapter 16, verse 33. It's a verse that I've said to you on more than one occasion. Expectation. What is your spiritual expectation when you have devotions? What are your spiritual expectations in walking a difficult journey? Do you have expectations from God? From the Holy Spirit? From Jesus Christ? Scripture speaking to you? This is a very simple verse, Jesus speaking. I have told you these things so that you may have peace. Oh, do you need peace in your life? Jesus said, I've told you these things so that you will have peace. So if I want peace, where should I go for the peaceful words? Not Dear Abby in the newspaper. Not your horoscope. Jesus gave us those words. I should just feed on this. I should just eat this up. Oh, because it is my spiritual bread. So Jesus is saying, I've told you these things so that you may have peace. Oh, that's good. I like that. So are your expectations from your devotional time that peace? God has given you peace. He's given you a good word so that during the day when you face a challenge, you will go back and say, God, give me your peace. You've promised me your peace. Give me your peace. And Jesus goes on to say, in this world you will have trouble. That just says that He knows me. He knows you. He knows what the journey is about. He knows what it's going to be like. You're going to have trouble. Don't get upset. What are your expectations in those times of trouble? Jesus says, take heart. I have overcome the world. What are your expectations from God? What do you get out of your devotional time? Do you expect a good day, not a bad day? Or do you just go, oh, whatever will be, will be. Ah, yeah, just throw it at me, I'll take it. My expectations from God are a good day. A good day. I'm looking for Him. I'm looking for a good day, not a bad day. I'm looking for answers to prayer. I'm looking for answers to prayer in my life. I'm looking for Him to answer prayers in your life. I have expectations. I have dreams. I have visions. I have God. I want Him. I want Him to empower my life and empower your life. What are your expectations? Do you see God in your day? Are you even looking for Him? I would say if you don't have a devotional time with God somewhere in your day, then you're not looking for Him. Maybe it would be a chance encounter. You trip over it somewhere, but that would be a good thing. But I would say that we should take the words of John 16, verse 33, with great expectations for peace in our day. And yes, when we face trouble, don't worry about it. Take heart. For Jesus Christ, God's Son, has overcome the world. And He gives that to each and every one of us. God desires to give us an expectant, positive spirit. Positive spirit. I said it a week ago. Every Christian should be the most positive person you run into. Why? Because nothing in this world is going to trouble us. Why? Because Jesus Christ Himself says, I've given you peace. And I've overcome every trouble you're going to face. Have faith in Him. Your devotional life will be as vibrant as your devotion to the God who loves you. Your devotional life will be as vibrant as your devotion to the God who loves you. Do you love Him? If you love Him, then you'll have devotion with Him. Our relationship, marriage relationship, there can be no devotion between us if we don't spend time together. She's gone. She's doing her thing. I worked with a guy. He and his wife never took a trip together. She worked. He worked. I would imagine in the morning they probably said hi to each other, and at night they might have said, what are you watching on TV? I don't know. But that was about it. It was one of the more stranger marriage relationships I've ever encountered in my life. I would dare say that that man and woman were not devoted to each other. They never had time together. They didn't set time aside for that relationship building. Your devotional time is building that relationship with God, your Heavenly Father. Are you devoted to Him? You can't say that you're devoted to Him if you don't spend time with Him. Then it's just cheap conversation. So my prayer for us as a congregation is that we can say, that you can say, I can say, I'm devoted to God. And that will be evidenced in my conversations with you. It'll be evidenced in my actions. Spend time with God. Let Him speak to you. Let those words of Timothy be true in your life. Accept those. That the Scripture that you read, the Scripture that you're studying is given to you for correction, rebuking, teaching in righteousness. Can you do that? Challenge yourself. Ask God to do that. If that's a weak link in your chain, your spiritual chain, say, God, hey God, change my heart, oh God. And He will do that as you yield to Him. I invite you to stand this morning. Father, this is so elementary, really, in being a disciple, being an ambassador of Christ. The word disciple even means that if to be a disciple of somebody means that we are consumed by them, that we listen to every word, we let every word spoken by the teacher speak to us. So in the realm of being an ambassador, a disciple, saying that we are devoted to You, let it be evidenced in our desire to commune with You. And we break it down in simple terms, a devotional time. And yes, that's extremely, extremely important in the journey. For You feed us that spiritual bread. You give us that spiritual water that we'll never thirst again. In the spiritual realm, we'll never want something else. So, Father, continue to let Your Spirit speak to us. As we open Your Word again, let it Let it correct us. Let it rebuke us. Let it change us as we yield to Your Spirit. Father, we love You and give You praise. Thank You for loving us. May our love for You be evidenced in our love for each other. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Go and be a blessing to somebody.